The next sermon in my series of I Am topics. We have looked at I am the bread of life and I am the light of the world. This sermon combines two statements of Jesus describing himself, I am the good shepherd and I am the gate for the sheep. First, I shall read the scriptures for the day. The Hebrew scripture reading is the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And now, I will not sing, but I will read to you the Gospel Acclamation. Let your steadfast love come to us, O Lord. Save us as you promised. We will trust your word. And now, if you wish to stand for the Gospel reading, I invite you to do so. The Holy Gospel is written in the 10th chapter of St. John's Gospel, beginning with the first verse. Glory to you, O Lord. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep, and all who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate for the sheep. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away, because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. Gracious God, many of us heard and knew the 23rd Psalm as children. Illumine our hearts and minds so that, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we hear it in a new way that is good and right and true. And hearing, help us to do what is pleasing to you, so that your glory becomes visible in all our words and all our deeds. Help me, O Lord, to rightly proclaim your word, such that as we are literally hearing your word in a new way, help us to understand in a new way your personal message to each of us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. It is small wonder that the image of the shepherd was frequently upon the lips of the Savior. It was part of his heritage and his culture. Abraham, the father of the nation, was the keeper of great flocks of sheep. Moses was tending the flocks of his father-in-law Jethro when God called him into a special service. David was a shepherd boy called in from the fields to be the king of Israel. The imagery of the shepherd was also imprinted upon the literature of the day. The 23rd Psalm, the shepherd psalm as we call it, was well known and well loved during the first century, as well as before and after that time. When Isaiah spoke of the coming of the Messiah, he worded it by saying, "He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather his lambs into his arms." Yes, the tradition of the shepherd was very much a part of the heritage of Christ. This picture comes more clearly into focus in the New Testament. Jesus once told a story about a shepherd who had 100 sheep, but one of them went astray. In our way of thinking, a 99% return on our investment would be most desirable, but not for this shepherd. He left the 99 to go in search of that one lost sheep. Later, when Jesus was speaking to a great throng of people, Mark tells us that he had compassion upon them because they were, quote, as sheep without a shepherd. Throughout the Judeo-Christian faith, then, the image of the shepherd has been stamped upon our thinking. In our scripture text, Jesus again taps into this imagery when he refers to himself as the Good Shepherd. As you listen to this, I would like for us to examine together what Jesus is telling us when he described himself thus and what this might mean for us today. First, we have a shepherd that is a genuine shepherd. United Methodist pastor Larry Daniel, a well-known writer of Civil War novels, tells a story on himself. He says, "I will never forget when I got my wife's engagement ring. I had been saving up money from all of the marriages I had performed to buy an antique musket, an 1864 U.S. Springfield rifle. Oh, it was beautiful. Instead, I used the money to buy an engagement ring. Greater love hath no man than that." He went on to say, "But after I had bought the ring, I said to the jeweler, 'Now be honest with me. I bought the ring. I can't give it back. Can you really tell the difference between a true diamond and some phony thing that I can buy off the Shoppers Network on TV?' The jeweler said, 'Come on over here and look at this. I want to show you something.' He put the light on two rings, the one I had just bought and a phony diamond. Then he gave me his jeweler's eyeglass. He said, 'Look at the two rings. See the cheap imitation, and then look at what you just bought.' And when I did, I was amazed. My ring sparkled and glittered. The counterfeit was dull and had no luster. Jesus said, 'Now there are two shepherds.' We know that obviously there would have seemed to be no difference. The skin of both would have been bronzed by the sun and weathered by the wind. They would both carry a fleece to keep them warm at night, and both would carry a shepherd's crook. But one is a genuine shepherd, and the other is a counterfeit. One is a shepherd in his heart. The other is a shepherd for hire. On any ordinary day, you could never tell them apart. But let trouble come, let a pack of wolves appear, and then the difference is obvious. The counterfeit sheep, the hireling, runs, because it is only money to him. He has no ownership. But the real shepherd stays. He says, 'I lay down my life for my sheep.' That is the difference between the real shepherd and the counterfeit. Here is some good news, friends. I don't care how much trouble comes your way. Like right now, we are all having to stay at home, limit our contact with people, and if we have to go to the grocery store or someplace else, we're asked to stay 10 feet away from anyone and everyone and wear a mask. Now, did you ever as a child get a little pin as a reward for your consistent Sunday school attendance? Well, folks, we have all blown it. We are not even coming to church anymore right now. But don't worry. If God is the one doing any counting, you will get credit for listening to this. Despite what we are having to do now, and despite what may lay ahead for us during these unsettled times, we are trying, with this and future recordings, to help keep us connected with each other and with our Lord. Here's the good news, friends. The Good Shepherd will never leave your side. He will not desert you in times of trial. He will be with us, and he will protect us. And he is with each of us right now as we turn to him. Second, the Good Shepherd knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. I think we've all read or heard of stories where a traveler goes to the Middle East and sees a flock of sheep just all white with a little bit of smattering of black, maybe, and shepherds are standing off to the side, and the sheep are all huddled around the watering hole, and the traveler wonders, how in the world are these shepherds going to find their own sheep when it's time to leave? And then they hear the voice of one shepherd calling out, and then they hear the voice of a second shepherd calling out, and each shepherd has his own unique call, and when they hear it, in orderly fashion, the sheep divide and sort themselves out to follow their own shepherd. I believe that is what the Good Shepherd meant when he said, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Bishop Edward Tullis used to tell the story of a particular census taker who went to a very poor family in the mountains to gather information. He asked the mother how many dependents she had. She began, well, there's Rosalie and Billy and Louina, our dog Willie, and the census taker interrupted her and said, no, ma'am, that is not necessary. I just need humans. I don't need pets. Oh, she said, well, there's Rosalie and Billy and Luella. Exasperated, the census taker interrupted her again and said, no, ma'am, you don't seem to understand. I don't need their names. I just need numbers. And the mother looked at the census taker and quietly replied, but I don't know them by numbers. I only know them by names. It does strike me as a rather comforting thought that the great creator of the cosmos knows me by name. He knows my situation. He knows my innermost being. And marvel of marvels, he still loves me. My friend, he knows you. He knows your innermost being. And marvel of marvel, he still loves you. The shepherd knows his sheep, and the sheep know the shepherd. Now, in our day, people raise sheep to be slaughtered for food. But back in the day of Jesus, people raised sheep for wool to make clothing. So they wanted to take good care of these sheep. They had generally small flocks, and each sheep had a name, brown leg, black nose, spot, long ear, straggler. The shepherds called each one by name. The Lord is my shepherd. He knows my name. The Good Shepherd also includes other sheep. Jesus said, I have other sheep too, and they are not of this fold. I must bring them in also. In John Drinkwater's historical drama, Abraham Lincoln, a woman says to Lincoln, "Mr. President, have you heard the good news? In the latest battle, we suffered only 800 casualties, and the enemy, 2,700. How splendid!" "Splendid," replied Lincoln, "that 3,500 souls are lost?" "Oh, Mr. President," she said, "you must not look at it in that way. Only 800 of them counted." Replies Lincoln, "Madam, the world is much bigger than your heart. There are some who are not of my fold, and I must bring them in too. We have a good shepherd who is inclusive, and he asks the same of us." And finally, the main job of the shepherd is always to protect the sheep. Do you really know what we're talking about when we say, "Thy rod and thy staff"? I didn't know until I was doing research for this sermon. Now, we know the staff has a crook on the end so that the shepherd can use it to move sheep in a different direction, perhaps, or, more commonly, to use it to reach a little lamb or a sheep that has fallen down into one of the crevices or ravines in the rocky terrain of the area. He can just hook that crook around a neck or a leg and pull the animal out. But I never knew what a rod was. I found out that it's a wooden club about 2 to 3, maybe 4 feet long, with a big, hard, and heavy end that sometimes had spikes in it, shaped somewhat like the pictures we see of the old cavemen carrying around their stick to hit the animals. And the shepherds used their rod in the same way. They would swat at and smack or even kill any predators coming around to threaten the sheep. Hit them hard enough in the head and the predator was gone. Some things haven't changed much in some parts of the world. In the Middle East, even today, the shepherds own a sheepfold in common, usually. It's a circle of stones, and there's an opening in it. There are brambles along the top so that other animals and predators won't try and jump in. And if they're further out in the field, it's formed simply by gathering brambles to spread in a circle and to protect the sheep from animals trying to get into the fold. But late in the evening, whether they're near the city or out in the field, after all the sheep have been led into the fold, the shepherds will build a fire close to the opening in the stone or bramble wall and will lie down right there and literally use their bodies as the gate into the fold. This image gives a new meaning to the shepherd laying down his life for his sheep. Literally, if wolves or other predators were to come after the sheep at night, they would have to get past the shepherd and his rod first. The shepherd literally lays down his life for his sheep every night. Lay down your life for a worthless animal? It hardly seems reasonable. That is, until we remember that we are the sheep that he is talking about. We are the worthless ones. It is like the act of atonement of Jesus on the cross, atoning for our sins. The shedding of one's blood on behalf of another who really doesn't deserve it, except that we are so deeply loved by God. Nicholas Brejnev was a German officer in a Nazi concentration camp who abandoned the religion of Hitler's nation for Christianity. He later insisted that it was not theology, nor history, nor the church, nor an evangelist that caused his conversion. He was present when the Nazis were killing Jews in the gas chambers, and as he watched women being selected for the chamber one day, he noticed one woman seemed to realize that the officer in charge, Brejnev himself, was really only interested in numbers. So without a single word, she pulled aside a woman holding a child and took her place in line for the showers. So powerful was that image that it turned Berdyaev toward the Christ who sacrificed his life for all humanity. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. If we are to follow the shepherding model as laid down by Christ, if we are to also be good shepherds, then sacrifice must be part of our faith. It means that the church must now lay down her life for a worthless and undeserving society, and for seemingly and worthless and undeserving people. It may well be that making and listening to this recording, instead of being together and experiencing worship together, this is for now the way our church, the way we, are laying down our corporate life together for literally a sick society. It is not enough, my friends, that we simply remain sheep. Christ is calling us into the role of shepherd. Jesus asked Simon Peter one day, "Peter, do you love me?" "Lord," he said, "you know that I do love you." Then came the reply, "Feed my sheep." If we are to be faithful, my friends, there is no alternative. Thanks be to God. Amen.